new on CuriosityStream.
From time to time, we have collisions between asteroids and the Earth.
We track them. We study them. We hope the big one never comes. Don't look up. It's Asteroid Rush. And alligators. They rarely get sick. They even outlasted the dinosaurs. Could they hold the secret to human longevity?
Their blood could have antibacterial applications.
Wade into the investigation on immortal alligators. Watch now on CuriosityStream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit CuriosityStream.com.
The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors have the expertise to find exactly what you need and the ethics to do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 19. How are we doing this morning? Happy Father's Day. Hope you have some special plans to celebrate your dad today. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Well, U.S. Open final round action this afternoon at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. And what a week it has been. I was up most of the week, and back in 99 was up there to cover the Ryder Cup. You remember that one, the American win over Europe, 14.5 to 13.5. Who could forget Justin Leonard's 45-footer for birdie on the 17th green? Just incredible history, and the whole Country Club is just so rich in history. One of five founding member clubs of the USGA dating back to the late 1800s. It's the fourth U.S. Open that the Country Club has hosted, the first being back in 1913 when 20-year-old amateur Francis Ouimet, he was a caddy at the Country Club. He lived across the street from the course. He played as an amateur in the U.S. Open and beat Harry Vardon and Ted Ray in an 18-hole playoff to win the U.S. Open. And Vardon at the time was a five-time Open champ, and Ted Ray had won the Open Championship at Muirfield the year before. So it was such a shocker that this young amateur could go in and just beat the big guys. And his victory contributed to the popularity of the sport. And according to reports that I read, in the 10 years after Ouimet won, the U.S. went from having 340,000 golfers to 2.1 million. So he really was popular. He was, you know, just a caddy, certainly of humble means. And what a win. And it really helped make golf a big deal here in this country. And the Country Club has hosted 17 USGA championships. And it was such a treat to go into the clubhouse, see all the golf memorabilia. The bar in that restaurant is just classic. You get that whole feel of the history. And it has a lot of different buildings on the property. The original property was a racetrack, and all the buildings have been restored, including the stables there. And this week, the stable building was used as the USGA Performance and Recovery Center, and Long Island's own Dr. Jeff Pablarski heads up that effort to treat players and caddies before and after they play, and he gave me a tour of the area. It's just fascinating, just beautifully restored, and I met Dr. David Cusia, a well-known chiropractor who's based in Syosset, Long Island, and he showed me this huge machine called the Excentric. And Dr. Cusia invented this 40 years ago. And this was the first time they brought it to a U.S. Open to treat players and caddies who have lower back issues. It's for spinal decompression. But they basically have an entire team there to treat these players and get them ready for competition. And the Country Club also has a curling rink on the premises. And the indoor tennis courts is where the media facility was. So lots on the property. It was certainly used and still is for sports year-round. Julius Burroughs won the 1963 U.S. Open at the Country Club. And in 1988, Curtis Strange beat Nick Faldo in an 18-hole playoff. And As you know, Tiger is not playing. He decided to save his ailing body for the Open Championship at St. Andrews in July, which he has said is his favorite course, and he's won two Open Championships there. So no Tiger this week, but oh my goodness, the leaderboard is stacked. I'll get to it in a second, but you know, it's a classic historic course that has given these modern-day players a lot to deal with. The fairways are narrow, several cutting through these huge, just natural rock masses. There were no bulldozers back in the day when the country club was originally built, so that rocky terrain has remained all over the golf course. There's lots of elevation. The rough is brutal. There are a lot of blind shots with the layout. The greens are small, very slick greens, and it's very difficult to hold the greens. So players could hit beautiful shots right onto the green, but the balls roll off into the thick rough. So we're seeing a lot of that. And then to get back on the green from that thick rough and to stop the ball from rolling down the slopes of the greens is very, very difficult. So it's not overly long, but it tests every part of the player's game. It is truly a U.S. Open test. And boy, was it tough yesterday. You throw in the gusty wind conditions, it was just brutal. Seven different players held the lead yesterday. Only nine players were under par. And it was Will Zalatoris and Matthew Fitzpatrick who at 4-under find themselves at the top of the leaderboard, both tied for the lead, heading into today's final round. Will Zalatoris began the day 4 shots off the lead. He ended up shooting the low round of the day yesterday, 367, 4 birdies, 1 bogey. He looked unfazed by the wind, by all the challenges that the country club has presented. Of course, he was runner-up at the PGA Championship in May. He was second in the 2021 Masters. It's just a matter of time before Will Zalatoris wins. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet, but there's a good chance he could win a major championship title first. Oh, that would be incredible. He just is so unfazed by everything going on. And Matthew Fitzpatrick, who won the U.S. Amateur at the Country Club in 2013, he shot a 268 yesterday. So obviously drawing from that confidence of his U.S. Amateur win there and the knowledge, he birdied 14 and 15 to pull into a tie with Zalatoris. And then Fitzpatrick actually birdied the 17th, took the outright lead, but then he bogeyed the 18th. And so he heads into the final round, tied for the lead with Zalatoris at 4-under. And like Zalatoris, Fitzpatrick is looking for his first major title. And he hasn't won a PGA Tour title either. And Fitzpatrick is vying to join Jack Nicklaus as the only player to win. He would love to join Jack Nicklaus as the only players to win a U.S. Open and a U.S. Amateur at the same venue. John Rahm, the defending champ, is in the mix. He had birdies on 14, 15, and 17, took over the sole lead at 5-under with his birdie on the 17th. But then on the 18th, his tee shot found the left bunker. His first shot out of the sand, he thinned it. It hit the edge of the green and bounced right back to him in the bunker. How many of us have done that as amateur players? His next shot then landed in a deep greenside bunker. And, you know, he just was frustrated all day. He had two bogeys and a birdie on the front, and then another bogey on the 13th. And then on the 18th, wow, what a turn for the worse. He had a 20-footer for bogey, missed that, finished with a double bogey on the 18th hole, shot a +171. He dropped from 5-under to 3-under, but Rahm, he's still only one shot behind Will Zalatoris and Matthew Fitzpatrick. So a crazy day for Rahm yesterday, but he is right in there. Keegan Bradley is 2 shots back at 2-under, getting tons of love from the Boston crowd. He threw out the first pitch in the Red Sox game earlier in the week. So Bradley joins Adam Hadwin and Scottie Scheffler at 2-under. Scheffler, after his eagle on the 8th, he holed out from 102 yards for eagle. He got to 6-under at that point, but he gave it all back with a dreadful back 9. He had a double on 11. He had bogeys on 12, 13, and 14. But even with that terrible back 9, Scheffler is only 2 shots back. Rory McIlroy bogeyed three of the first six holes. He shot a plus 373, hitting only six fairways. And at one under overall, Rory is only three shots back. Still very much in this. And Rory looking for his first major title since 2014. Colin Morikawa, he was the co-leader heading into the third round. He carded a plus seven for the day. And he's plus two overall. He struggled all day after shooting that 66 on Friday. And Joel Dahmen, who was tied for the lead with Morikawa entering the third round, he also struggled yesterday. He carded a plus four. Dahmen, what a story. He survived cancer when he was in his 20s. And he joins Sam Burns and Rory at one under overall. Would love to see Dahmen do well. It is wide open and anything can happen. And you can watch the final round on USA Network from 10 a.m. to noon. And then on NBC from noon until 7 p.m. And the winner gets 3.15 mil. Overall prize money is 17.5 million, up 40% from last year's U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson did not make the cut. Far from it. He shot a plus 8 on Thursday, a plus 3 on Friday for a total of plus 11. Well, Phil looked totally out of practice. His putting was terrible. He had a 4-putt from a few feet out, several 3-putts. He had 3 birdies overall in the 36 holes Thursday, Friday. And he was grilled by the media last Monday after his involvement in the Saudi-funded LIV Golf. His answers were pretty much what he said in London before he participated in that exhibition, that his time away has been a necessary time and an opportunity to put a little bit of thought and reflection into going forward and how to best prioritize things. He said he spent time with Amy and loved ones and continued some of the work therapy-wise on some of the deficiencies that he's had, he said, and focused on the best path going forward. He sounded hesitant and careful with his answers. When he was asked about 9/11 and the families who lost loved ones, he said he has the deepest sympathy and empathy for them. I asked him a question about what legacy means to him, because when discussing the players who bolted the PGA Tour to cash in on the Saudi-funded LIV Golf, to me, it's really about a person's character. Morality versus taking money from a country that commits human rights violations on a daily basis, a country in which the majority of the terrorists responsible for 9/11 came from, and the country that murdered and dismembered the Washington Post reporter. Of course, it's a very controversial subject, and everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And I do believe that golfers and all athletes should have the right as free agents to play in other leagues, which is a right the PGA Tour does not give unless they grant releases for the golfers, which they haven't in the LIV Golf scenario. But my beef is with these stars taking the money based on where it comes from. Yes, the U.S. buys oil from Saudi Arabia. I wish that was not the case. Phil Mickelson does not have any control over that. But he does have control over his own decision to play in this league funded by Saudi money. And so character and legacy come to mind. You know, Tiger spoke about his legacy at the PGA Championship and how his history at the PGA Tour, the tour that Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus made very popular, was very important to him, to Tiger, and that winning against the best competition is very meaningful. Well, I had an exchange with Phil Mickelson last Monday, and it was all about legacy. When I asked Phil Mickelson about what legacy meant to him and if he thought his legacy will change now that he's associated with LIV Golf, well, he was not happy I asked a two-part question. But nonetheless, take a listen.
Anne Liguori here. I'm curious, what does legacy mean to you? And do you think your legacy will change now that you're associated with LIV Golf?
So I'm going to try just, I don't like it when you keep asking multiple questions, but as far as legacy, and I'll just address that, I would say that I've been a part of the PGA Tour now for 30 plus years, and I have enjoyed my time. I've enjoyed the opportunities it's provided. I've enjoyed the lifestyle it's provided. I've enjoyed the fact that the game of golf through the PGA Tour has been able to give me and my family so much. I'm appreciative of that fact. And during that time, I've worked really hard behind the scenes as well as on the scenes to try to contribute as a way of showing my appreciation. And I've done the best I can to give back to it as well. So I feel good about that. I feel good about the efforts I put in to try to get back to the game of golf as well as the tour. And I'm excited about the opportunity that LIV Golf presents for me and the game of golf going forward.
Do you think about how your legacy may have changed or will change?
Like I said, I've done all I can to help contribute to the game, contribute to the PGA Tour during my time with them, and that's all I can do.
All right, so Rory McIlroy came in the next day, last Tuesday. He's been a strong spokesman for the PGA Tour, as you know. And I asked Rory about legacy and what that means to him.
Hey, Rory, can you talk about legacy and what your legacy means to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, I hope I'm still building on my legacy. You know, I'm in golfing terms, still young-ish. You know, even though I've been out here for a long time, I've basically spent half my life on tour at this point. But it's very important to me. It means a lot. Going back to history and tradition, and putting your name on trophies that have the legends of the game on them. That's really cool. You know, and that's something that money can't buy. And you know, legacy, reputation. At the end of the day, you know, that's all you have. You know, you strip everything away and you're left with how you made people feel and what people thought of you. And, you know, that is important to me.
Well, that says it all, in my opinion. All right, coming up this morning, the CEO of the USGA, Mike Wan, he'll join us at around 7:40. The USGA decided to allow the LIV Golf players who have previously qualified to play in the U.S. Open this week based on the field criteria that has been published. So they played. But Mike Wan did say this past Wednesday at the USGA press conference that he's struggling with how the LIV Golf is good for the game and that the USGA would consider ways that could make it more difficult for LIV Golf players to compete in future U.S. Open. So we'll explore that and much more with Mike Wan. And first up, as you know, this upcoming week is Travelers Championship Week, one of my favorite tournaments on the PGA Tour, and we'll check in with Andy Bassett, Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers.
New on Curiosity Stream, he allows them their riches.
Putin has to be the richest of the rich.
In exchange for their loyalty.
The oligarchs have supported someone for president that they underestimated.
The illicit affair between Russia's elite and the man who rules them on Putin and the oligarchs. And World War II Normandy, an obscure battle training session takes a tragic turn. Uncover the one secret military catastrophe on the secret D-Day disaster. Watch now on CuriosityStream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit CuriosityStream.com.
The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors have the expertise to find exactly what you need and the ethics to do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play.
No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
Long Island Window and Door in Commack is an Anderson Excellence retailer. Their professional staff is trained on all Anderson premium products like Anderson 400 Series windows, Anderson built backed and service like no other window. Whether you're a homeowner or a contractor, Long Island Window and Door has you covered. Visit Long Island Window and Door today at 1096 Jericho Turnpike in Commack or call 631-543-3100. That's 631-543-3100.
Help protect your kids' skin this summer with Blue Lizard's mineral-based sunscreens ranked number one by pediatricians and dermatologists recommended. Blue Lizard's mineral-based sunscreens are formulated with zinc oxide to help protect kids' skin from harmful UVA and UVB rays. Blue Lizard sunscreens are paraben and fragrance-free, plus dry-on clear and are water-resistant. Enjoy the outdoors worry-free with Blue Lizard sunscreen for kids. Shop on BlueLizardSunscreen.com or the sunscreen aisle of a retailer near you for cleaner mineral-based sun protection. That's BlueLizard.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. And it is my pleasure to say good morning to Andy Bassett, Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. And tomorrow starts Travelers Championship Week. Good morning, Andy. Welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Good morning, Ann. How are you today?
I'm good. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
And you look at the leaders, Andy, heading into this afternoon's U.S. Open final round, and many of them will head to Cromwell, Connecticut this coming week to play in the Travelers.
Yeah, we're really excited. And, you know, we've got so many great relationships, and you know, the top golfers always want to be here with us at the Travelers Championship, which is really good. And you look at some of these great names, and you know, and you can go on with some of the new names that are out there, and some of the more established names. But you know, Scottie Scheffler, geez, is he playing unbelievable golf or what? And Rory, and the list could go on forever. But there are a lot of them are coming down to the Travelers Championship on Monday or Tuesday, and be a part of what we've built here over the first 16 years.
Well, Will Zalatoris, he shot the low round of the day yesterday at 367. He's tied for the lead at 4 under. He will be there. Keegan Bradley, he's only 2 shots back. He is going to be at the Travelers. As you mentioned, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Zach Johnson, captain of the 2023 U.S. Ryder Cup team, Harold Varner III. I mean, these guys are all right up the road from Hartford, right? They're at the Country Club of Brookline in Massachusetts playing the U.S. Open. But the Travelers Championship gets these guys either way. I mean, so the fact that the Travelers Championship follows a week after the U.S. Open, that's actually really good for the Travelers Championship, right?
Oh, it's been great. I remember when we signed on, you know, and back in 2006. I had more phone calls saying, oh, boy, you guys signed on for the worst week in golf. But I said, don't give me a challenge because you will be very sorry. And so we talked and we've worked very, very hard. And it turned out to be tremendous for us. I mean, the guys, I remember one of them, I think it was Vijay Singh, said to me one year, he said, you know, the conditions are so tough at the U.S. Open and challenging that when we get to the Travelers Championship, we're so excited to play in reasonable rough and in reasonable conditions. So I think a lot of the guys play so well here because they relax when they get here, too. I mean, it's a stressful week to get ready for the U.S. Open and to compete at that level. So we try to make it as easy as we can, and for them, as you know, and invite them with open arms and treat them as best as we can treat them when they come down. But, you know, we've just looked, the names you've mentioned, and I think Ricky Fowler has been added to our field.
Ricky
is another huge name in golf. And I think that that's so exciting for our fans. Our fans love all of these guys. I mean, they just, you know, last year's 8-hole playoff, right? The longest since, I believe, 1949 on the PGA Tour was unbelievable. And the crowds, I mean, last year we could only have 10,000. The crowds were still limited because of COVID. And the crowds are chanting for the guys. And then they even start chanting for the sign guy. They're going, sign guy, sign guy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're chanting for the sign guy.
That's great. So, you love that enthusiasm. Well, as you mentioned, last year, Harris English, he won the Travelers Championship after birding the 8th hole of the sudden death playoff to beat Kramer Hickok. It took 8 holes in the playoff for the winner to emerge. And I want to know if you can describe what that playoff was like for you, because I understand you walked the entire playoff in a wool jacket.
Alan Snitzer, our chairman, CEO, and I walked all 8 holes with our woolen sports coats on, and it was hot. I mean, I was sweating, and Alan was sweating. I mean, it was just warm. It was uncomfortable, but to watch the crowds run between 18 and 17 and back to 18 was just so, so cool. I mean, it was great. And I got to tell you, the funny story is when we were done, I rested for a couple of weeks, and I was thinking, how am I going to suggest to Alan that we don't wear the jackets? And he comes to September, and Alan comes to my office one day and says, hey, I got a great idea for you. I said, what's that? He goes, I don't think we should wear the wool jackets for the playoff holes, and we should wear white golf shirts with a Travels logo on the left chest, a bigger one. I said, oh, thank goodness, this is so good. I said, I wasn't quite sure how to suggest it to you because I didn't want to, like, ruin the playoff. He goes, nope. He said, we're wearing white shirts. And I'm like, oh, boy, I could hug them. And so we just had – it was a great, great 8 holes. So between Hickok and Harrison was watching those guys battle it out. And the crowds, again, were chanting, Kramer. I mean, it was unbelievable how the crowds were into it. You just had a smile and appreciate the moment as to here we go again. Here's history's made at the Travelers. I mean – every year, it's all over TV, and Jim Nantz is saying, you know, history's made here. It's unbelievable. Jim Furyk, 58, Patrick Cantlay, 60 in 2011, Streelman's 7 consecutive birdies to win it, right, in 2014. The list goes on and on, and the 8-hole playoff, it's just crazy things happen at the Travelers Championship, and it doesn't matter what happens at the U.S. Open. The history is made at the Travelers Championship, so everybody should come on out and see what's going to – I don't know what's going to happen this year. I just can't even imagine, but
– it will probably be another playoff, maybe.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it goes beyond 8 holes?
Yeah. I hope not 8 holes, but I think our ratio of playoffs, this will be our 16th year as title sponsor. And I think, as you know, we extended it last year to 2030. But we've had playoffs, I bet you, in, boy, half those years. And so there's usually a playoff, and it's usually something exciting. But if it's not, it's a Jim Furyk type 58 or a Streel's 7 consecutive birds. And I mean, something always happens, and it's always a great, great time. And, you know, the best part is we serve charity, right? And We've given so much money, over $22.5 million to more than 800 local charities since we took it over in 2007.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That matches the ethos of who we are. That's the soul of Travelers Companies. We give to charitable organizations. We volunteer hundreds of thousands of hours in our communities, and we're a part of making the world a better place for a whole lot of people.
Well, I have to ask you this question. As someone who runs a PGA Tour event, what are your thoughts about LIV Golf?
You know, I'm an insurance company guy. I'm not a golf guy, and I'm not even worthy to speak of what do you call it, like alternative leagues that come out. So it's hard for me really to make any kind of a comment about it. I think that you've had a few guys go over to try it, and it is what it is. Hey, listen, it's funny, each of these guys on the PGA Tour are independent contractors, right? It's not like they have contracts with any of the tournaments in the United States to play, and so they're independent contractors, and they play where they want to play. They play what fits their schedules, and, you know, I can only say that we've been really fortunate, as you mentioned earlier, Ann, is that we always have great fields at the Travelers Championship, and we have the top players in the world. And I think the best comments that I've heard, and the players know a lot more than Andy knows, but, you know, the thing that always impresses me is that the PGA Tour is where the best players in the world play, and they
That's
want,
right.
And I remember this from my Olympic days, you always want to compete against the best in the world, because that's where you learn what's right and wrong with your game or your sport or your technique or whatever, and that's where you make improvements to become world-class and win majors in golf. and or be on an Olympic team in amateur sports, and the list goes on and on. But that's really important to know that, you know, it's important for the best players in the world to play against the best players in the world so that we watch tremendous golf and we see things continue to improve. And some of these players that we're going to have in our field this year, look at, we're going to have the Masters champion, right? Scottie Scheffler. How great is that? Justin Thomas. Who knows?
And Rory committed today. Rory McIlroy committed
oh, yes.
months ago. I mean, how much of a difference does it make, Andy, when a star player like Rory McIlroy commits to your event so early?
Huge, huge. And that's part of our relationship with these players. And I think Rory committed back in the beginning of the year, in the first quarter, like January, February. And that means so much because of what I just said, too, and you know that, is when you get somebody like Rory McIlroy in your field, the others will follow. Because they want to play against the best in the world. And so having Rory commit early is phenomenal with other players committing quickly or early too. And that really helps us. You know, our field was pretty not set, but it was the top 10 in the world. I think we had announced maybe five of the top 10 in the world by like in March, April. And so it was known and it was out there that we were going to have a great field. And then, you know, we've been getting quite a few players coming down from Boston, from the country club in Brookline, and that's just added to it. But we build our field early. We talk to the guys. Nathan and I are out there on the tour going to two or three tournaments a year, and we keep in touch with all the players throughout the year. And it's a lot of fun, but it's also a business. We run a company. We run a golf tournament, and we want to produce the best product that we can for our fans.
Absolutely. And you have so many different highlights and themes every day of the week. What will be some of the highlights this week for Travelers Championship?
Oh, boy, we've got so many of them. I know probably one of the highlights is on Tuesday. We're actually going to have the Charlie Sifford Centennial Celebration Golf Outing.
That's right.
That's a mouthful. And Charlie was our champion back in 1967. And, you know, I stop and pause when I say that because I was born in the 50s. And I was a teenager in the 60s, 67. And the world is such a different place. Oh, my gosh. To understand what Charlie Sifford did as the first black player to earn his PGA Tour card in his first victory in Hartford, I forget what it was called then, maybe the Insurance City Open, or the Greater Hartford Open, but that victory meant so much. And it was over at the old Weathersfield Country Club. And in 67, the world was such a different place. I mean, think about it. Vietnam was going. My gosh, there were Vietnam protests. There were the race riots in Los Angeles. There were all kinds. The world was so, I don't know the right word, active, let's call it. And have Charlie Sifford focused in winning our tournament in 67 means so much to me. And what it stands for is actually more important. But, you know, the beneficiary will be the Dr. Charles L. Sifford Scholarship, which is going to help cover college tuition, for students who attend a historically black college or university, or for minority students focusing their education on golf management. And though that's in a number of different schools. So where our plan is to contribute $100,000 to that scholarship fund, and we will be the first donator.
We will
be the first contribution to that scholarship. And we're so happy to kick it off. And the family's coming up. Charlie Sifford Jr. and I think one of his children is coming up to be a part of it. And, you know, that's really cool. It's going to be a big part of the week, an important part of the week, to celebrate diversity of the Travelers Championship and diversity in golf. And it's getting better, and everybody's working very hard. And then we also, not to change subjects, we have a video game initiative like we did last year, where we have some of the top players on the PGA Tour playing video games against some of the top video gamers in the world, which is really cool. We did it last year. It was so much fun. And Carlos Ortiz and I always kid around. We have so much fun with it. Joaquin Niemann, Carlos Ortiz, Harold Varner. I mean, the guys are all into this. And, you know, what a way to engage with some of the best young golfers on the PGA Tour. They go home at night, they play golf during the day, and guess what? They're gamers at night. So that's an important part of what's happening. And then the money we're going to raise for charity is so critically important.
Right, $44 million to charities in the community since 1952. Andy, we're out of time. Yeah. We only have an hour, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andy Bassett, VP at Travelers Insurance. Andy and his team do an incredible job every year with the Travelers Championship. Looking forward to it, Andy. Thanks so much.
And see you all week. Take care.
We'll see you up at the Travelers Championship. Coming up, we'll talk U.S. Open with Mike Wann, the CEO of the USGA, when we come back.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. Hope you're having a great morning so far. Happy Father's Day to you. And with the U.S. Open final round this afternoon, I can't think of a more appropriate guest than Mike Wann, the CEO of the United States Golf Association. Good morning, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, Ann. How you doing?
I'm good. How have you been holding up this week?
I'm feeling good. Nothing I think sleep won't cure, but this is the first morning, I think, in 7 when my alarm didn't go off at 4, so I'm feeling pretty good today.
And I know this is your first U.S. Open as CEO of the USGA, right? So what has been the highlight of your week so far?
You know, for me, it's probably the stuff that the average fan doesn't see. It's the, you know, it's seeing my team work in concert. I mean, it's, you know, I've watched the 10 months of preparation that leads into this. And, you know, there's a ton of problems at every, you know, massive event that you face behind the scenes. But generally speaking, those are behind the scenes. And it's just, you know, I'm so proud of my team. I've been, you know, I've been in the merchandising tent. I've been in the TV production booth. I've been in food and catering. I just try to see all different aspects of it, see where help is needed. A lot of people on my team are working so hard, they don't even have time sometimes to ask for more help. So, you know, you have to kind of find where those needs are. But, I'm going to spend today watching golf. I haven't watched as much golf as I probably should have the first 3 days, but because I've just been watching what's happening with my crew.
Well, you couldn't have a more tightly contested leaderboard going into the final round on just a classic historic course, right? It's holding up pretty great against these modern day players, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean it's strange. Yesterday about noon, it looked like the British Open broke out. We went from we went from summer back to winter. And when you think about this course, which has a lot of those kind of cues from earlier days of golf, it fits. I mean, this golf course is so special because you'll never hear somebody say, you know, I just played the Country Club, and it really reminds me of, because it doesn't look or feel like any other golf course, at least here in the States. And that's what makes it special. Tiny greens, just undulated enough to drive you crazy in certain spots. Obviously, I haven't played it with the rough that they're playing it with, but. It did enough damage to me when the rough was cut down.
And the history there is so rich. And the fact that We Met's house is right there and members are restoring it. It really has a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's got great history for golf fans. But I would tell you, as a USGA member and a fairly new one, obviously, this is a place that means a lot to our organization. You know, there was 5 clubs that got together in New York City in 1894. Just before Christmas, and drew up the vision of what if we created the United States Golf Association. So, you know, we owe a lot of who we are today to the people that had this vision. I talk all the time about we have to never forget what it is they saw in the USGA, and then we have to be bold enough to see something bigger for the next 100 years. We've been to this place 17 times in championships. I think only Marion has hosted more. And there's a reason for that. This is home for the USGA, even though it's not our home zip code. And it takes us back to where golf began. I was the LPGA commissioner for 12 years, and people talked forever about the Sayri Park moment that woke up Korea, and Korea became a powerhouse in the game. I don't think many Americans realize that we had a Sayri Park moment. It was Francis We Met winning the Open, where golf went from being just a pastime that very few played to what we see today, you know, a national championship with, you know, 30 hours of live TV on NBC and people watching in 180 different countries.
Yeah, you can feel that rich history walking around that golf course and going into that clubhouse. It's just thrilling to be part of it. And Well, let's turn to LIV Golf, because the USGA allowed players who committed to LIV Golf, players like Phil and Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Kevin Na, Sergio, Louis Oosthuizen, the USGA allowed them to play this week. And basically just wanted to hear your reasoning on that.
Yeah, I mean, for one is, you know, LIV Golf's been a discussion, I feel like, for 2 years, but hadn't actually been an event until, you know, 5 days before we teed it up. So I never, you know, to me, I've said this many times, I don't take PowerPoint presentations as real, and we've been talking about a PowerPoint presentation for a couple of years. So, and then when LIV actually did pull together and had its first event, it was literally the weekend before our event. We take tour suspensions pretty seriously. We look at them as an individual basis. We've obviously kept people out of our championship for other suspensions, but it really came down to a question of if a player who is otherwise qualified for our event played somewhere else last week and didn't have the approval of their home tour to do that, would that disqualify him from the national championship that they otherwise qualified for, at least in this year? And we felt it did not, and especially, you know, 5 days before we tee off an event. Understanding that not everybody's going to agree with that, but we, you know, we're an open championship. We're very proud to be in an open championship. You know, usually about half of our field teed it up in some qualifier. You know, we've got 109 of those to get here. It's the roots of who we are. So, yeah, I still, you know, I don't think any of us know what this LIV Golf will be or become in the years future, and we're going to take a long view on that and make sure that we're not reacting to what somebody's saying in a PowerPoint presentation or a press conference, and more what's happening in the marketplace. But yeah, so that was our decision. We didn't, you know, for our 2022 U.S. Open, we believed if somebody qualified for it, that what they did, you know, 5-6 days before our event took place, in terms of where they decided to play their golf, wouldn't disqualify them. I would say too, and you've heard me say this, Ann, that we're talking about the same promoter, same country, same, you know, same alternative, playing alternative that 30 guys went and played in February and did have a PGA Tour release to play in. The DP World Tour had a sanctioned event with this promoter in this country for years. So, you know, if I was going to say, hey, anybody who played last week can't play because you played there, I couldn't have done that without saying anybody who's played there in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years or sponsored by, and, you know, we have 9,300 entrants into this event. It would get pretty difficult to administer way after the fact if we were going to go down that path.
Right, right. But how would the landscape have to change, Mike, for the USGA to perhaps change their minds and not let these LIV Golf players play in the U.S. Open next year?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see what, you know, what it does or doesn't become. Like I said, I've been around the golf business long enough to hear grandiose ideas of what's coming. And, you know, here I sit 40 years later, and almost all of those aren't with us. But, you know, this one obviously has generated more buzz and more, you know, and more discussion than most, but not the first time I've heard about, you know, the great disruptors that are going to, you know, leave the game different. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what it becomes, and we'll react to what it actually is, not to what people are guessing it might be or might not be.
Sure. I mean, LIV Golf events are not given official world golf ranking points right now, and perhaps the USGA will change its qualifying criteria and decrease the number who can qualify to play the U.S. Open based on, you know, the world golf ranking points.
Well, a big chunk of our, you know, there's two kinds of, you know, people, if you will, players in our field. There's players who played in through qualifiers and players who are exempt relative to their play over the last year anyway. And I would say when you talk about the exempt category, most of that does come from where they stand in the world ranks or how they finished on the PGA Tour the previous year. So I would tell you that when you talk about the folks that are in our field, generally speaking, they were in our field, meaning didn't go to regional and sectional qualifying to get here. They generally qualified based on their world ranking points or their performance on the PGA Tour.
Right. And you had said on Wednesday that you did not get any pressure at all from PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan before making the decision, right, to let these guys play.
No, you know, I do a lot with Jay, and I do a lot with the other majors as well. I mean, we're involved in so many, you know, combined projects, whether it's about, you know, governing the game or more importantly, growing the game. But we really don't talk to each other about field criteria. I mean, my field criteria is quite different than Chairman Ridley's. It's you know, even though we're both open, Martin and I have a, you know, a different path to our championships, as does Seth and the PGA. So despite all of our things that we do have in common, when it comes to who plays in our field or who doesn't play in our field, that's not that's just not something we discuss. And if you know, if I was to reach out to Jay and say, I have an idea for your players championship field, I'm not sure. He'd probably be chuckling before I got to the end of the question. That's just, you know, that's not what I spend a lot of time thinking about.
And before you became the CEO of the USGA, you were the commissioner of the LPGA. And just wondering what your thoughts would be if LIV Golf went after, you know, some of the players on the LPGA Tour, and if you think the LPGA Tour perhaps would suspend the women who decided to play in the LIV Golf.
Well, it's like anything else. I'm sure that, you know, I think we're all realizing that, you know, athletes have a price. And, you know, some athletes, when they got to that price, have decided to kind of go for the guaranteed safe money, play less, get paid more. I get it. I mean, originally I viewed that as sort of an alternative to the Champions Tour. If you're sort of done competing at the highest level and you want to play it 8 times a year, not 28 times a year, and guarantee your income, this might be a better way into retirement than the ones that exist. But if it's viewing itself as trying to become more of the everyday tour, I think the same is probably true on the LPGA. I'm sure there's a price by which people would say that. I think what the athletes, you know, might be missing here, and it's, you know, it's up to them, but I've said this a couple times, but one of the things that I've always praised golf for, and I really believe this, is when you look at professional sport, and we're definitely, you know, part of that fabric, this is the one sport where the athletes really do own their entities and control their future. When I walk into an LPGA board meeting as the commissioner, 8 of the 15 people in that room are members of the LPGA. They have a glove hanging out of their back pocket. And if the LPGA wanted to change commissioners, they'd get together a board meeting. The members of the LPGA would have majority vote, and they could change in one meeting. I actually always thought that was the coolest part, because I'd turn on the TV and hear about the Major League Baseball Players Union or the Football Union suing the owners, and that the players were concerned because they never really had a voice at the table. And when the commissioner came in, they reported to all the owners. That doesn't exist in golf. There isn't an ownership group that decides who gets paid, when they get paid, when they play. And the risk, I think, of what we're talking about here is, I think professional athletes could wake up with contracts, just like baseball, football, and basketball players. And they can also wake up realizing that they no longer control their sport, that their voice is, you know, is a voice. But this is where unions will come in and everything else, because if you wake up and one group or one guy or one check writer is in charge of your future, I think professional athletes that are evaluating this are going to realize just how different life is if they report to an owner as opposed to control their destiny. And it's always been what's made professional golf, in my opinion, the greatest professional sport, because the athletes literally sit in the boardroom and control the future of their sport.
That's right. That's right. Great points. We have like a minute or two left, but the USGA, I understand, we'll start a U.S. development program, Mike, creating a program for young people between the ages of 12 and 17 to help develop talent. I think this is huge because, as you mentioned, no matter the income level or their background, you know, we have to start developing young talent in our country.
Yeah, I mean, as the commissioner of the LPGA, it always floored me that every woman on that tour came out of a country development program except the Americans. And on those country development programs, whether it was Spain, Sweden, Korea, China, Australia, they learn all the key things early: nutrition, stretching, how to work with a caddy, how to get into a D1 school. If you're a great player in Spain, at some point you're going to be on Team Spain, and they're going to sort of take it from there and really guide you. And most of those country programs, by the way, stay with them long after they turn professional. So it's always bothered me. And if you look at the top 100 female golfers in the world, you know, 20 years ago, 80% of them were U.S. and 20 were rest of the world. Today, it's just the opposite, 20 U.S., 80 rest of the world. And when you start talking about men's golf, everyone sort of just figures, well, that's just a women's golf problem. Well, you go back 20 years ago, it was, you know, it was 90-10 American rest of the world. And today it's about 60-40 rest of world versus U.S. in the top 100 of the world rankings. So, listen, I love the globalness of this business. I've been a part of taking a lot of parts of golf global, but the first two letters in my current business card say United States, and I'm going to make sure that the pipeline for United States golfer is stronger than ever before. I don't think this is something we're doing to be better than the world. This is something we're doing to simply catch up with what's going on in the rest of the world. And I think if American golf fans don't see that, they're just not looking close enough. So, you know, shame on us if we don't take hold of this. If you heard Tiger Woods' induction speech into the Hall of Fame, he said at age 14, his parents got together at the kitchen table because they couldn't afford to continue raising a golfer at that level with the cost. One of the key programs that we're going to build with this U.S. development program is we're going to build a $30-$50 million grant program to make sure if a kid has got the talent and the desire and the ability to reach higher levels, then we're going to take it from there and make sure that USGA helps fund that development program, so we don't lose kids because they can't afford to reach the highest level in the game they could. And I just think this is an idea that's so past time. I don't view this as timely. I view this as too late, but we're going to go after it as if it's too late so we can catch up in a hurry.
Mike Wan, always a pleasure. Really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Thanks for covering us, Ann.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. My thanks to Mike Wan, CEO of the USGA, to Andy Bassett of the Travelers Championship this coming week at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut, to Ed, our Zoom in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Enjoy the U.S. Open. Will Zalatoris, Matthew Fitzpatrick tied for lead at 4-under, one shot ahead of John Rahm, and two shots ahead of local favorite Keegan Bradley, Canadian Adam Hadwin, and world number one Scottie Scheffler. And Rory McIlroy was right in there as well. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. And I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
New on CuriosityStream.
From time to time, we have collisions between asteroids and the Earth.
We track them. We study them. We hope the big one never comes. Don't look up. It's Asteroid Rush. And alligators. They rarely get sick. They even outlasted the dinosaurs. Could they hold the secret to human longevity?
Their blood could have antibacterial applications.
Wade into the investigation on immortal alligators. Watch now on CuriosityStream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit CuriosityStream.com.
The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors have the expertise to find exactly what you need and the ethics to do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.TV is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.TV. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.TV.
Blackout and other restrictions apply.
Long Island Window and Door in Commack is an Anderson Excellence retailer. Their professional staff is trained on all Anderson premium products like Anderson 400 Series windows, Anderson built, backed, and service like no other window. Whether you're a homeowner or a contractor, Long Island Window and Door has you covered. Visit Long Island Window and Door today at 1096 Jericho Turnpike in Commack or call 631-543-3100. That's 631-543-3100.
Face the sun this summer with Blue Lizard's mineral sunscreens. Dermatologists recommended and designed to provide superior sun protection. Every Blue Lizard sunscreen starts with the mineral zinc oxide to help protect skin from harmful UVA and UVB rays. Love your skin and the planet. Blue Lizard's Relove the Reef sunscreens are designed to help protect the coral reef so you can feel good about being safe in the sun. Shop on BlueLizardSunscreen.com or the sunscreen aisle of a retailer near you for cleaner mineral sun protection. That's BlueLizard.com.